Bless the Lord who forgives all our sin.
His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me. You shall not make for yourself any idol. You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. We have done those things which we ought not to have done. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare thou those who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Jesus Christ our Lord. And grant, O merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of the life, and grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring order into the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 16 to 21. God promises all kinds of strange and fantastic things through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. If he makes a path through waters and wild animals bow to him, what might he have power to do in our lives today? This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and that they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of the Lord. This morning's psalm is Psalm 126, found on page 4 in the bulletin. Let's read together responsively in unison. Let's read together in unison. Huh? Now we start. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Today's second lesson is from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. With everything else to lose, the Apostle Paul admits that all the efforts and accomplishments he attained cannot set him one hair ahead of anyone else when it comes to receiving the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Reading from Philippians. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings, because like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants that they should give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant. Him also they beat and treated shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours." And they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "God forbid." But he looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests tried to lay hands on him at that very hour, but they feared the people, for they had perceived that he had told this parable against them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. The whole scriptures are filled with stories of the salvation history of God's people. From the prophet Isaiah that we heard read earlier, through the psalmist, and the letter to the Philippians, and our gospel this morning, all recount the relationship between God and God's people, recount the way that God has reached out to people, and the way that the people have reacted to God's outreach. Never more so than in the gospel reading in the story of the wicked tenant farmers. In some ways, when we think of the salvation history of God's people throughout time, we might recall an really old spiritual work called Pilgrim's Progress that recounts in sort of vernacular fashion, how in every day and in every way I'm getting better and better, progressing towards perfection in sanctification in the Lord. C.S. Lewis, however, a later Christian writer, wrote something called Pilgrim's Regress, in which he described the life, the spiritual life, of the Christian as being less like reacting willingly and saintily to God's call. It was more like being dragged, kicking and screaming along the way. And it's kind of that way as we read the salvation history of the Hebrew people. For we know the parable. There's some obvious illustrations and obvious parallels in the parable. If we take it kind of literally. The vineyard is really the illustration of the people of God. The wicked tenant farmers are those leaders of the day, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests. God, of course, is the landowner. The prophets are those servants that are sent to collect the rent and the increase. And of course, the Son, played by Jesus Christ. And so it's pretty clear and pretty obvious that we see as the parable unfolds and as also the story of Jesus and his ministry, and especially those last days moving up until Good Friday and Easter, how the people of God reacted and were led further and further astray by their wicked tenant farmers, the leaders, and how Jesus had to die at the behest of those leaders and with the willing participation of the crowds. But he died to save the world from sin. So we can say, well, those wicked scribes and Pharisees and chief priests, they're terrible. Caiaphas and the whole bunch. And the Jewish people of that day, the Hebrews, were equally wicked. They were willingly led astray, just like they were with Aaron and the golden calf in days gone by. Over time, they treated the prophets terribly, and they killed the Son. And we could just sort of say, well, those wicked, wicked religious leaders of Jesus' time and those equally culpable Hebrew people, they're terrible. And isn't it nice that we are not like them? And we could sort of dust off our hands and we'll all go home and have dinner, be happy as clams. But God doesn't stop there, and we dare not stop there either. Because, friends, we still are the vineyard. We and the people of the world, indeed the people of the world in all time and all space, throughout history, we all together, cumulatively and together, are the vineyard. How is it that we respond? Either to leaders who lead us towards or away from the truth in Christ's message of love, peace, of forgiveness, closer to that or farther away. Sometimes, as we say in our confession, in other words, sometimes we are led astray, not just by our leaders, but our own basest of passions, of emotions, and thoughts. Sometimes we fail to do those things which we ought to do, and by golly and darn it anyway, we don't do those things that we shouldn't do. If we're honest with ourselves, we recognize not just the Hebrew people in that parable, but we see too ourselves, you and me, each other, our friends and our family. How is it? How is it that we respond to God's call? How is it that we respond to God's call not just of mercy and grace, but to act in ways that are consistent with the commandments, consistent with God's will for his people to dwell together in peace and in harmony, to enrich one another, to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs one to another, to feed the hungry, clothe the poor, and deal with all those who have trouble, trial, or tribulation in their lives. Deal with them as the Good Samaritan dealt with the man laying in the ditch. How is it that we treat one another? How is it that we listen to and abide by public discourse, some of which today is very divisive, calls us to tribal warfare in a way. How is it that we respond to that still small voice? That still small voice of God saying, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come unto me and bear my yoke, which is light and easy. Come unto me, receive forgiveness for sins. Come unto me and receive the promises that our Heavenly Father offers to you." I had the great privilege, I was just sharing earlier, I had the great privilege and joy to, in the month of February, do a tour of the Holy Land. And a couple of my, just as an aside, the Holy Land, a lot of it is very touristy. And when we arrived, the 27 of us on our tour bus at certain holy sites, there were probably 20 tour buses already there, and hundreds, if not thousands, of people milling around. But parts of it were really wonderful, and we stood on the top of Mount Zion near Caiaphas's house, near the Antonia where the Roman soldiers were garrisoned. And from that viewpoint, we could look down into the Kidron Valley and up onto the Mount of Olives and into the Garden of Gethsemane. It's all there laid out, sort of like Rocky River Valley in a way. A little bigger, but not really that much. And then dead ahead, we could see the pinnacle of the temple where Satan told Jesus to throw himself down. And the angels would save him. It was a wonderful moment, but also a very strange moment, because I got the strong sense and the strong feeling. As Jesus walked into Jerusalem, we hear in scriptures that he set his face toward Jerusalem to a fate that he already knew was waiting for him. Walking up the Kidron Valley into the old city, one side of the Kidron Valley is an immense graveyard, thousands upon thousands of graves that dated thousands and thousands of years, even before the time of Christ. And as he walked up to Jerusalem in that valley, he walked for us, friends, through what I was calling in my own mind the valley of the shadow of death, for there stood the graves. There he walked, and he walked that lonesome valley, as the old gospel song says, and he walked it by himself. Walked into Jerusalem, and from the Garden of Gethsemane, he was arrested and dragged, came up these steps right in front of us to be tried in a kangaroo court and convicted and sentenced to death. Not for only the Jews, not for only those people who were witnesses, but for each one of us as well. An amazing vision. I hope I have imparted a little bit of that to you, because there lies the gospel message for us today. We who are lumped together with wicked tenants and vineyards for the Lord, whether it's we go willingly, whether we drag kicking and screaming, the Lord calls us today to believe in him, to trust his promises, to let our sins be not walls but bridges between us and him, and to take and eat, taste and see how good is the Lord. In his name, amen. Please stand if you're able, and let us join together in confessing our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let's join together in the prayers of the people. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Archbishop Welby, for our presenting Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, for Pastor John, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the homeless, the hungry, the oppressed, the depressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or need deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed, especially Julie Crutcha. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day. Let's pray together this prayer at the bottom of page 7. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share that peace one with another.
Good morning. So we welcome John Paulus with us. It has been a day or two or a month or so since John was with us past. So, John, I have a question.
Yes.
Since you were at the Holy Land,
yes.
How do you properly pronounce N-E-G-E-V?
Well, I said Negev.
Negev.
Yeah.
Is that what I said this morning?
I don't know.
I think it was. Bev, was it? Negev, okay. Good, thank you. Comes from the source.
Could even pronounce our bus driver's name.
Okay. Yes, well, that's on our bucket list to do before we leave this earth, is to go to the Holy Land. So I'm envious. Pete, where are you, sir?
Here. I'm on the clock. Good morning. First thing. Gentlemen of Advent, we gather tomorrow night at BJ's Restaurant and Brew House at Great Northern Shopping Center at 6:30. I hope all of you can come and join us for good conversation and good fellowship. Secondly, I want to thank all of you that volunteered to help put on the Passion of Christ next week. Greatly appreciated. I'd like to meet with everybody right after the service this morning for just a couple of minutes to go over a few things. And lastly, Dar wants to remind everybody that the recessional has been changed. We are going to be singing the recessional on tune 150 instead of the current one.
150. That's for communion. God, which one's for communion?
God of Second Chance.
Yeah, no, that's offertory.
Oh, that's offertory.
These are enough.
Yeah, these alone are enough is for communion. The closing song, it's going to be 150, 40 days and 40 nights. So that'll be our recessional. The handout is for communion. Okay, thank you.
Sorry. Yes? While Marilyn's joining us, we will have someone to pray with you and back during communion, so please take advantage of that opportunity.
On the 19th, I think it's the 19th, we will be singing the Tenebrae service at St. Joseph's Church in Avon Lake. It's at 8 o'clock. It's on a Wednesday night, and it's 32929 Electric Boulevard. And I believe it's a free will offering. Thank you.
So this morning's Church in Babylon discussion is on the topic of social justice. We're going to start out with some definitions. What does social justice mean to you and to the writers, and try to get some clarity there before we dive into is social justice a gospel issue? So please join us for that discussion. Next Sunday, the Babylon discussion will be two-part, New Age spirituality and sexual preference. So we'll have those on Palm Sunday, then we will not have Gift nor Babylon on Easter Sunday. Finally, with sadness, let me expand upon the prayer for Julie Crotcha. Julie passed away this past Thursday. There will be a graveside service, for a private service for her and family on Tuesday morning. And then they would like to have an open house celebration of life here on Tuesday afternoon. Doors will open about 2 o'clock, so you can come and greet the family and share some time with them. And then at 3 o'clock, we will have a service. Father Richard Lutz will be celebrating and officiating. And there will be a small reception afterwards. So the service itself will be at 3 o'clock, a greeting of the family starting at 2. At Julie's wishes, there was no wake, no meetings beforehand. So this was her preference. So this is the family has honored that request. So Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, 3 o'clock service, including Eucharist, and 2 o'clock to greet the family. Peace be with you.
But do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
Oh,
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks for grace.
It is a right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made for us yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. May this body and blood of our Lord Jesus strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. We pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face smile upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and favor. And may the Lord grant you peace. Amen.
Amen.
We have another announcement.
Last night, Linda and I went to see the movie Unplanned. If you've not seen it, with some trepidation, I recommend it. Unplanned is a movie about a woman by the name of Abby Johnson, who was clinic director of Planned Parenthood for 8 years in Bryan, Texas. She experienced 2 abortions herself, and during her role as clinical director, she was asked to assist in an abortion, and it changed her life. Her parents had been praying for her, her husband had been praying for her, and the Lord brought her to a realization that abortion is wrong. It's a powerful movie. It's rated R. It's not for the faint of heart. It's rated R because of many of the scenes dealing with women having abortions. And ultrasound views of embryos during and after an abortion. It's one of those movies that we chose to go to, not because we wanted to, but because we felt like there was a message there that we needed to see and that we need to encourage others who have the stomach for it to see it. Powerful movie. I do recommend it. It's rated R. Peace.